and welcome to the Conversations with Authors podcast. I'm your host, Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy. In this podcast, every week I speak to an author about what inspired them to write their books and what tips they can pass on to other aspiring authors. Today is A.D. Hyde, author of The Leukemia Diaries, Seeing the Funnier Side of Cancer, which Anthony Hyde describes as an honest, fresh and funny perspective on dealing with leukemia. So hello Anthony, it's lovely to meet you at last.
Yes, the pleasure.
So first of all, tell me a little bit about your book, Leukemia Diaries.
Essentially, it's a light-hearted account of my journey from just before being diagnosed with leukemia, and it goes all the way through to getting back to work. I guess I go through each stage of the journey in detail and talk very honestly about what was going through my mind and how I felt both physically and mentally, and how I dealt with each hurdle as I came across it. So it's very lighthearted. There's a lot of laughs in it. I can't deny there's emotion in there as well. So some of the feedback I've had from people who've read it, it's always a combination of tears and laughs, but it's always coming out with some sort of positivity from it.
Well, I guess tears and laughter, yeah, combined, that's going to be a big part of what you went through. What inspired you to write the book?
Well, short answer. My wife, Debbie.
Okay.
The long answer is multi-threaded. And the first thread is that, I mean, it sounds strange when I say it out loud, but I was on a journey with my best friend, Debs. And at each stage we would be together. I mean, we were together 24 hours a day for many weeks because we were going through this together. Uh-huh. And it was funny in the sense that I don't want to offend people who've lost people to cancer, but we would, as the title suggests, we would be seeing the funny side of things, you know, every stage that something funny would happen. I mean, if I can give you an example, when I finally confronted it and went to the doctors to get my blood test going, they were sent off to the local hospital. And the following morning, a doctor from the hospital rang me first thing in the morning. We were at breakfast and he said, "Hi, I've just done your blood test and I think you should come into the hospital now." Oh. And I went, "Oh." I mean, bear in mind, I sort of knew what was coming, you know. Right. But I thought, can you tell me what it is? And he went, no, I think it's best if we do it face to face. And I kept pushing him and pushing him, but he said, no, we should do it face to face. So I said, okay, where shall I come? And he said, the cancer ward. So we put the phone down and we both burst into tears. We were hugging each other. And then I just started to laugh. And Debs thought I'd lost it. And I thought, well, the guy had just done his utmost to alleviate my fears, keep me calm, and then blew it all by saying, come to the cancer ward. He might as well said, come to the you've got 2 days to live ward. You know, it was just so funny. So we had that. So every time we had a funny experience, I would jot down the title in my phone. Hmm. If anything, just to remind myself when we were talking to friends, when I eventually went down the pub, a funny thing happened. But those titles eventually became the chapters of the book.
Ah, okay.
So that was one thread. Uh-huh. Another thread was that I was talking over the period of, you know, I would say several months, I would be talking to people who were either cancer sufferers or people who had somebody suffering from cancer. And I found myself being the person who would be consoling them, who would be inspiring them. Or if it was somebody, in fact, both the cancer sufferers and the people who had loved ones who were suffering from cancer, I would be telling them what would be going through the minds of the other person. And giving them an outlook. And it was lovely to see. And I found myself trying to inspire people because my mindset was in a good place, because very early on, I'd come to terms with the fact that I could possibly die. It was horrible, but I'd come to terms with it. And once I'd done that, I felt liberated. And so that's why we could laugh at things. That's why we had the strength to do things together. So it was at that point, Deb said, you really must write all this down. I mean, you could help people beyond the people you're talking to. So there was that. And then I guess the final thread was that when I actually started writing, it was a much more personal thread, which was I actually wanted to let my family know what I was going through. Right. So things that I could never have told them face to face. And this was a great way of saying, this is why I acted like this. This is why I didn't tell you. You know, there was things in there that, you know, I knew, and you'll, people who read the book will know, you do stupid things. I knew I had some form of cancer before Christmas. And I thought, I'm gonna make this the best Christmas. Before I go and see the doctor, I'll make sure this is the best Christmas we've ever had. So the presents I gave to the kids were with that in mind. So it all made sense later, you see.
Yeah.
So very stupid thing to do, but you don't, well, you would I do it again? Probably do it again. It's yeah. The frame of the mind that you're in. So all those together were a sort of passionate reason for writing the book.
So, yeah, I think there's something really powerful about sharing your story, the fact that your experiences, although they're personal and unique to you, that actually they can go on and help support other people.
I was quite touched and humbled by, because not only do I get reviews directly from the books, but I also get people, because I do Facebook advertising, so they comment on the adverts. And some of the things they say are just amazing. I even if there was just one, it would make the whole thing worthwhile. But there's been loads. So, and it's been not necessarily leukemia sufferers. Any people with various levels of cancer have found it touching and helpful. So that for me has just been amazing.
Yeah, I can remember with my book, I the first review on Amazon said it's shown me there's light at the end of the tunnel.
And I just
thought, wow, you know, my job here is done. If I've done that for one person, then that's all I need to do. So you said that you started off by writing down just little notes about the funny stories, and they've become chapter headings.
Yeah.
How did you write the rest of the book?
Well, the thing is, I just essentially I dove straight in. I just opened up the laptop, opened up Word, and started writing. But within about I would say about an hour, I suddenly stopped and I thought, oh, I had a bad case of imposter syndrome.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I thought, writing this story.
Yeah. How could I ever have thought I could write a book? I mean, my background is science. I'm not English literature. I mean, what could I ever? I mean, everybody's going to laugh at me, you know. So I went through all this. And I guess in my mind, I had this image of how I should be writing.
Yes.
And I realized I couldn't live up to that image.
Yeah.
And I thought, I can't write like that. It's not me. That phrase, it's not me, resonated. And I thought, why am I trying to be somebody else? I know I can tell good stories.
Yeah.
Why don't I write like I speak? And that's what I did. And as soon as I did that, it just flowed. Honestly, I could sit for hours. I could be in front of the TV. I could be anywhere, and I just write, because it was just all coming out of here. It was all in there. All I needed was the chapter titles.
Yeah.
So about halfway through, I switched from Word, and I bought Scrivener, really juggle about the chapters, see where things were going, and I got a really sort of good feel for it. But yeah, it was just initially a brain dump.
Yeah.
I didn't think about grammar, spelling, order, anything. I just got it all down and then went back to it to make sure it flowed, basically.
Yeah. It's something that is such a common problem. I think people think, right, I'm writing a book, so it needs to be terribly formal, and I need to think about grammar and structure and sentences and punctuation, and then that just stifles your voice, doesn't it? It stifles the incentive and the motivation to write. I've said to some people, record it, and dictate it, because then it's your voice coming out, and when we talk, we don't think about whether we're using the punctuation in the right place, do we? We just do it. So it sounds very much like that's what you did.
Yeah, well, in actual fact, I was concerned that the way I wrote it, I would use lots of dot, dot, dots, because I wanted the pause that I use when I speak.
Right.
And I was expecting everybody to say, well, you can't write like that. But luckily, no one did say that. Because, I just did it exactly like that. But the thing that really made me feel as though I was doing something right was I gave the first few chapters to family members to read over, and they came back and said, it's like you're talking in my head. So that I thought, okay, I don't care whether I'm Booker Prize winner stuff, people can know it's me talking, basically.
I was gonna say, when it's you on paper, you're getting somewhere. When it's just your voice completely, it's unfiltered, it's just it's recognizably you. How long did it take you to write it? And then how did you go about getting it published?
So I reckon it probably took me about 12 months to write, in terms of, I would say the biggest time was the revisiting.
Yeah.
So the writing was very quick.
Okay.
But the revisit, I really wanted to make it flow. Mm-hmm. And that was, I got to where I wasn't scared about deleting a chapter.
Gosh, you know, that's quite a big step, a whole chapter.
Yeah. So I thought, no, that doesn't fit. So the other thing about, as I wrote the book, it changed tact. So initially, it was all about me, the diary, and how I went through the sort of treatment and stuff.
Mm.
But as I talked to more and more people, I thought, I've got to give some help in here as well, so that there was more helpful stuff going in. And at the end of each chapter, I put a wow factor, and the wow factor was words of wisdom.
Right.
And they may be funny things, they may be, in earnest things, but it was something that they could take away and think, right, ways to behave, why they shouldn't worry about this, or things like that. So it did change. So I did add things in that I didn't have originally. So that took a long time. So then when it came to publishing, I actually went on a writing weekend in Dublin with my wife, because she's dabbling with doing the writing. So we thought, this will be good. It was a 2-day thing, there's workshops, and we went, and it was really informative, and that's when I saw this company that was, we can publish for you give us some money.
Mm-hmm.
We have a huge distribution, we'll put it on all platforms, and I thought, okay, that sounds like a good thing. On retrospect, I don't think they added any value, because the package was quite expensive. There was no editing in the package I chose. I'd already done the book cover, so they did no value to that.
Yeah.
So all they did is get me out there. So on retrospect, if I was doing it with what I know now, I'd come to someone like you. No second thoughts, because it's just the thought that, having somebody who can show you the ropes, do it for you. I know you're going on Amazon, you could do it yourself, but I'm learning enough new stuff. So you need some help. And then to have someone say, right, here's it back, this is yours. Whereas with these, I had to sort of give notice to these people. And it's like, I didn't really need it. So, yeah, so if I did it over again, it would be the way I'm doing the next book.
Right, yeah. So you said earlier that you do Facebook advertising. So you do your own marketing for the book.
Yes.
I'd love to hear a little bit about how you go about that.
So although I said I'm technically background. I'm also artistic, so I do a lot of painting, things like that. So that's why I thought, you read a lot of these books and podcasts and, oh, for God's sake, don't do your own book cover, you know, get somebody professional to do it. But
yeah,
I like doing it. It's what I do in part as my, I'm in the marketing department of my company, although it's scientific,
yeah,
it's still marketing. So I felt confident that I could create adverts and do that. The only thing I wasn't confident in was, oh, yeah, I know everybody says you should be doing Facebook advertising, but I'll give it a go. And
yeah,
as soon as I switched over to doing the KDP direct side of things, I get a great reaction. I get an instant reaction to any advert that goes out. So I can
That's the beauty, isn't it? Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So it's been
exactly
good.
how your marketing affects sales, can't you? So
yeah,
what works and what doesn't work and what to do more of. Well, I just apologize for my dogs in the background here. Sorry.
They've got a lot to say.
They have.
And I was going to say, I'll give you an instance of where it is really useful. So I've done three different types of advert. Well, probably four or five, but three different themes of adverts. And the main ones that I had would have the comments from readers.
Okay.
With five stars next to it, things like that. Mm-hmm. And whenever I put those adverts out, feedback is instant, sales instant, things like that. I then went to an advert which was very pictorial and didn't have these things on, but it had just had a simple tagline.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually get negative feedback.
Really?
From people. Gosh. So from people who think that you're making fun,
okay,
of a very difficult subject.
Yeah.
Whereas if you put, this is what people who've read it think,
yeah,
then you don't get that. So it's a big learning curve to find out, okay. Because you've got to think that you send something out into the world, you don't know how people are going to take it.
No, that's true. People's interpretation can be very different, can't it?
Yeah.
So that's been
really useful. Yeah.
Mm, mm. Do you do any other sort of marketing of the book apart from Facebook?
So I've tried the Google Ads, mm-hmm, not got to grips with it just yet. So no advice for that yet.
Complicated system, I guess.
Yes.
Whereas Facebook ads, yeah, I've used Facebook ads in the past. It is quite straightforward, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can quite tightly define who your advert is, yes, seen by as well. So
yeah.
So did you learn anything about yourself while you were writing the book?
I think the main thing is that I had a writing voice. I was so chuffed when I got to that point. I just, you know, because I am very creative in my personal life. You know, as I said, I paint, I make furniture, I love to cook, but I never thought I was capable of writing a book. And so to have this thing click in your mind and you can just type away, it's just, that's lovely. I think privileged is the word. So that's the main thing, because a lot of the things through the book is that one of the most common things I would be asked after I came out of hospital was, oh, I bet you look at life differently now. I bet you just see the sunsets and things like that. And I said, no, I was like that before.
Right.
I'd come to the conclusion as to what was important in my life a long, long time ago. For me, it's family. Mm-hmm. It always has been. Everything I do is all about family and friends. So I didn't have that baggage either. That's why, again, I could come to terms with the possibility of my death, because I had no regrets. Because mm-hmm, I'd had it wasn't a case of, I wish I'd have spent more time with my wife. I wish that. No, because I knew what was important in my life. So
yeah,
I didn't have revelations. That stood me in good stead, really.
Mm, mm. But the, I guess the achievement of actually writing the book, something that you'd never thought.
No, it's just brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see it, a physical copy of it, oh, that was just amazing.
Did you shed a tear?
Oh, I mean, Deb's like, she came in and I opened up the envelope. I went, it was amazing. It was amazing.
It's like birthing a baby, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's easy. Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, writing a book is way harder than having a baby.
Way harder, yeah.
So what's happened as a result of you getting this book out there?
Oh, I got the writing bug. I mean, I just love it. So in the Leukemia Diaries, I talk a lot about, again, family matters, what's important to me, what my passions are. And again, talking about individual family members. So it was kind of heartbreaking that just before we published, I lost both my mother and my brother.
Oh, gosh.
So I immediately decided that I wanted to write a book about my mum. So she's a typical Italian mama. Yeah. So she had a real amazing story coming over from Italy, coming to Manchester, settling, bringing up, you know, four children on her own. So there was a huge book just in that. And I already had stories I used to tell the kids. There were funny stories about from my childhood. So I just combined the two. And again, just writes itself. I mean, I'm at the polishing stage now. So I hope to get that out in the next month or so.
Okay,
and then the follow-up from that is a cookbook. So
again, Italian recipes?
Yeah. So it's going to be the Italian cookbook. A love story, and it's about, so it won't just be a normal cookbook. It brings all those themes with it, the passions, the, you know, why you do things. And it's about, I've got loads and loads of cookbooks, but I've never used one. I love reading cookbooks. I love watching cookery programs. I love getting ideas. And then I love cooking into the extent where I just chuck things in. And I love to sort of pass that on to people. Don't get hung up about how to do things methodically. It's not like cake making where you need to follow a chemistry process. You can create food that you like. So the food that I make is the food that my family likes. So you could change that for anything you do. I mean, I built a pizza oven in the garden.
Very cool.
You can see it from space. So, and then I built a big, huge table and chair set, like straight out of Lord of the Rings. And we have pizza parties, which is lovely, getting friends round. It's great. So I've got that, and I've got another about three or four books vying to be written after that.
Wow. You really caught the writing bug.
That's big time. Yeah. Big time.
Has the Leukemia Diaries, has that taken you off in any directions? Have you done any sort of public speaking about it or anything?
No. I mean, it's funny. It's one of those things where initially I thought, well, that's really not me.
Okay.
I may be talking to people. I just don't think about it. And my wife is very holistic. And she said, well, you should. And I was thinking, I don't know. I think it may be somewhere. Well, I will go because I feel confident to talk about the subject. I feel confident that I never give advice to people. I always tell them what I did and what worked for me. So, for instance, I have a friend who, long before I got leukemia, has a brain tumor, and he rang me up to sort of say, oh, I've got a brain tumour. And I just didn't know what to say to him. And it was funny, when I was in the hospital, I'd got the diagnosis that I'd got leukemia. I couldn't really phone any of my family members because I would just burst into tears. But I immediately phoned him and I said, hey, John, I've got you beat. I've got leukemia. It's a special kind of leukemia. Not only this runner, it's CML. Yeah. And we were having this conversation on the phone and we were laughing our heads off. And I could see out the corner of my eye, my wife and the nurse looking at me going, you do know where you are, don't you? You're in the ICU. Yeah. But I could talk to him. And since then we've had phone calls and he has it tough and I know what to say to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives me confidence to be able to talk to people, really.
Yeah. Well, the way you talk, you're so passionate about it, but you're also so inspiring and funny and warm and human. And yeah, I think you'd make a wonderful speaker, actually.
Over that 12-month period, I think my mind has changed. And I do think I'd have more confidence in doing it.
Yeah.
So probably yes would be the answer.
Okay, watch this space.
Yes.
So, other people who've maybe been through an experience, a medical experience or some sort of personal experience, and are thinking about they'd maybe like to write a book, what advice would you give them?
First and foremost, write a book for yourself. Even if it's so you can give something to your family and friends to say, I could never tell you this, but this is what I was going through. Even if that's your only reason for doing it, that's enough reason at all. In terms of the actual writing, I would coming back to that voice, find your voice. Be honest to yourself. Don't get het up about how it should be written. Just write what you feel is natural. Doesn't matter. They come from that thing. And then just be passionate about it. Don't, if you're going to write a book because you think you want to make money, then it's probably the wrong reason for writing a book.
Thank you. That's what I tell people all the time. Yeah.
I mean, so for the Leukemia Diaries, yeah, okay. Yes, I would love to be a multi-millionaire. Yeah.
Wouldn't we all?
But I wrote the book for all those reasons I outlined.
Yeah.
None of them was to get rich.
Yeah.
And the fact is, as we discussed on many occasions with my wife, is before it was published, if I could help one person, that would be it. I think I've helped more because of the feedback I've had. So, wow, if it all went away now, that would be enough.
Yeah.
So be passionate as to why you want to do it. If it's a even if it's a personal passion, I want people to know what I went through because I couldn't tell them,
Yeah.
and I still can't tell them, but I can write it down and they can read it. That's a good enough reason. So yeah, find your voice. I tell you the other thing is that emphasizes the finding your voice is that, and I won't mention names apart from the good one, is that I'm not a big book reader, but I went through a stage of reading autobiographies, and I read one autobiography again by a hero of mine, and I just got bored. It was just writing about himself and all the not so nice thing he did, and I thought, where's this going? I just didn't get it. And then the other one was one written by Rick Wakeman, if you know of him, another big hero of mine, and it came. It was in huge print. I must have been about 3 words per page. And it read like he just was talking. But because he had the content, he had the funny stories, I just read it like that. It was
Yeah.
just brilliant. So don't be worried about the style. Be worried more about the content. Have you got something to say?
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. People will forgive a certain amount of mistakes if it's a funny story,
Very true.
if it but if there's nothing there, why does anyone have a reason for finishing it?
No, that's very true. Very true. That's fantastic. Yeah, that's great advice that anyone can take on board.
But again, it's my feelings, yeah,
Yeah.
as simple as that.
No, that's right. You've already talked about all these other books you have in the pipeline. I was gonna say, what's next for you? I guess that's
Yep, so it's the Mama Nero Diaries, so that will hopefully sometime over the next couple of months, and then the cookbook before Christmas. That's my
brilliant.
aims for this year.
It's
So
this year, yeah.
yeah.
And then a whole series of other books in years to come.
So
There's no
yeah.
stopping you now, by the sounds of it.
Again, even if it's just doing it for myself, as it is at the moment, they just write themselves. This voice is very mouthy and got a lot to say, basically.
And you'll keep saying it until he runs out.
I guess, yeah.
I hope it doesn't run out for a very long time,
Me
because
too.
I'm
Me
sure that
too.
you're going to bring an awful lot of inspiration and laughter to the people who read your books. I really
Thank
do.
you very much.
So, where can we find you online?
So it's www.adhyde.com. And I think the ad.hyde is my sort of at for everything, basically. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
So AD Hyde, Anthony, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure also.
A huge thank you to my guest today, Anthony Hyde. As Anthony said, you can find details of him and his book, The Leukemia Diaries, and presumably of all his future books on his website, www.adhyde.com, and look out for him on social media. This has been a Proof Fairy production, presented by me, Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy, and definitely in collaboration with my dogs today. Thanks, guys. You can find out more about the services I offer as The Proof Fairy at my website, www.theprooffairy.com. This podcast can be downloaded on all your usual podcast platforms, so make sure you subscribe, review and rate us. And I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author.